The first bill we'll hear here today, we'll have a public hearing on House Bill 2282. And Mr. Swank.
Yeah, both of them are very much just that.
Morning. Chair Barker, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Brad Swank. I'm Special Counsel for Government Relations for the Oregon Judicial Department. I'm here this morning to present testimony on and answer questions about an Oregon Judicial Department bill, House Bill 2282. Every session of the legislature, the Judicial Department introduces bills to make minor changes in procedures related to courts to hopefully improve the process for everyone, generally for us, but also for everyone else. And this is one of those bills. This bill makes three minor tweaks in court-related processes. The first tweak relates to, and you should have testimony too, the first tweak is in sections 1, 2, and 3 of the bill, and it makes tweaks related to citations, uniform citations. And a few years ago, in 1999, the legislature made a policy decision and made some changes to the law so that officers could carry only one citation form when they were traveling around. It used to be that they had to carry one citation for traffic, one citation for criminal, one citation for boating. If they were doing Waymaster things, they had to carry another citation form, so they had different citation forms for specialized things. So the legislature changed that thinking. If they could cite all from the same citation, it could probably be cheaper and easier and faster and those sorts of things. In the process, language is put in the statute saying that the officer had to certify at the bottom that the officer had reasonable grounds to issue a citation. And after the session was over and the bill was passed, a work group, and uniform citations, the exact form is something that by statute the Supreme Court approves. So we put together a work group with district attorneys and police and the League of Oregon Cities and Association of Oregon Sheriffs and all those people to sort of make suggestions to the Supreme Court about what the form should look like and what it should include. And one of the district attorneys, one of them from Multnomah County actually, suggested that if it said reasonable grounds at the bottom of the citation, it would be a problem because this citation could be used for in lieu of arrest in criminal situations, and the standard for arrest in criminal citations is actually probable cause, not reasonable grounds. Now, there wasn't any case law on that, but rather than have a lot of tickets potentially challengeable, because, for instance, the League of Oregon City, I understand, prints up about 700,000 of these, biennium and sells them to local cities and counties at a less expensive cost than they could order them printed themselves. So rather than have them challengeable, we put the language on the ticket and recommended to the Supreme Court that they say sufficient grounds, because that would be broad enough to cover reasonable grounds or probable cause, because the officer would be saying sufficient. So that's what the adopted Supreme Court form said, and they were printed up, and there are a lot of them out there, and there weren't any legal challenges, but in the past year we've had a couple of judges who've been saying, well, the statute says reasonable grounds, and they've been allowing challenges to some tickets because the form that they're required to use by statute said sufficient grounds. So what this does is conform the statute to what the Supreme Court adopted, so they don't have to reprint all the tickets, and they can use the ones they've got. It's a minor change, but we think it'll save people time and money and still allow them to use a single citation. The second tweak that it makes to court-related processes relates to, and that's in sections 4, 5, and 6 of the bill, relates to what are called video arraignments. And there's a current statute 135030 that was amended a number of years ago to allow video arraignments, and those arraignments where the offender is in prison and the judge and probably the DA is someplace else, and they're allowing the person to appear by video so they don't have to pay the cost to move him and take deputies to protect the prisoner while they move him, and they hold arraignment then in this video fashion, the person's advised of their rights and allowed to plead. And one of our judges said, well, a couple of our judges actually said there's a conflict between that statute that allows it and another statute that says that guilty pleas have to be taken in person, and there's no cross-reference between the two, so they're thinking that because of the conflict, they can't take guilty pleas at video arraignment. So if the person's going to plead guilty, they're going to have to transport them. Okay, so we're putting in a cross-reference so that they can use video arraignment if they want. Now, we are asking the committee to delay this bill because those particular three provisions, when three of our judges and the Chief Justice's Criminal Law Advisory Committee looked at this bill, they said, well, why don't we, rather than just making that work for video arraignments, why don't we expand these provisions to allow a wider use of electronic appearances? You know, in some instances where it's not required by the Constitution or by statute, maybe people could call certain things in if everybody approved. And it would save people time and money if they didn't always have to drive to the courthouse for some minor things. So we're trying to work on a set of amendments to respond to those judges' interests that would allow a wider use of electronic appearances, maybe to save people money. And it's something that we need to, first of all, make sure that we've captured the judges' ideas in a set of amendments. And then once we've done that, to run it by our system partners, which is going to include district attorneys and criminal defense lawyers and counties and cities, because this is something that we think will have an advantage for all of them and could potentially save time and money for everybody. So we're working on a set of amendments which would supersede the electronic the video arraignment provisions and make it broader. So we'd like an opportunity to do that, and that would take some time. Finally, the tweak that this makes relates to criminal judgments, and probably all of you have heard about the judgments bill that was passed last session by the legislature, and it sets up provisions that relate to both civil judgments and criminal judgments. And in the civil judgment provision, both criminal judgments and civil judgments are required to have a separate section at the end that's labeled as a money award, and this is so that when court clerks see the money award section on the judgment at the end, they can show in the register that it creates a lien. So people will be given notice that there's a judgment that awards money that creates potentially a lien on real property. Now, for the civil judgment statute, the statute says if this separate section isn't there, it doesn't create a lien, but the money judgment can be enforced by other judgment remedies, which means you could execute or issue garnishments or those sorts of things. You just don't create a lien on real property. For the criminal judgment, it's silent. It doesn't say that if this money award section isn't there, you can enforce it by other means. So we thought, since I work for a branch that actually has a number of literalists in it, we would want to make sure that those statutes both have the same language in it, so that if we wanted to enforce criminal judgments by other means, because we do try and collect on them, that we could do that, and somebody wasn't saying, they said it in one place and didn't say it in the other, so you can't execute on that judgment that didn't have the money award section. So that's the cleanup that one does. Those are the three provisions the three tweaks that this makes to court-related kinds of processes. Like I say, we would like to wait a little while for this to move on, because we are thinking about expanding the electronic appearance thing to cover more than just arraignments potentially, and we should have that done in a while, and we need to run that by people. So I'm here to answer questions if you've got questions.
Mr. Chair, this really isn't a question, but I wanted to compliment your work on developing this bill. Too often, government is criticized for not being efficient and not being practical, and the solution in particular of changing the statute when we have a lot of printing done, and we've used a different word, it seems to me eminently practical, and I want to compliment you for doing so.
Mr. Chair, likewise, may I also compliment? It was nice to be able to have just one document to use to fill out everything.
You know, it's a lot of police officers were very happy about that.
The one thing when you gave that litany, though, you left out the most important one. Chair Krieger sent me a note saying to remember game citations.
Oh, yeah.
Chair Barker, Representative Krieger, we still have specialized citations for the people who want them, but if they want to use just one, they can.
Mr. Chair? It would work, I think, real well if you coordinate a little bit with our council and make sure that the parties involved, that you get us some pretty clean amendments. What I don't want to do is, we're going to probably move this on, but we'll give you some time before it's reset. We can take the amendments in the fall, and we don't want to have an hour and a half of arguments about what the amendments are. Get us a good, clean product, I think, is what
Chair Barker, Representative Krieger, if there are any disagreements about what's to go on, we believe that we need to run this by the other system partners, yeah. And I've never thought that it works well to surprise people with things and in bills that they didn't know about. That you have the legislature make an honest policy decision. So if there's a disagreement among, and we'll run it by the chief members of the Chief Justice's Criminal Law Advisory Committee, and if there's a disagreement about something that'll be in it, I'd rather have it presented to you as a disagreement so you can make an honest policy decision about it rather than somebody come back and say they were surprised about what was there. So everybody we can think of that will be affected by it will get a shot at it while we're working on the amendments.
Okay, well, thank you. Then I will accept a motion to move this forward to the full committee, and will anticipate amendments to be put in before we vote on it there.
Move to work session first. Move to work session.
I'm sorry. Thank you. We'll move this from a public hearing to a work session. Now I would.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2282 be moved forward with the with a due pass recommendation upon receipt of amendments to be considered in full.
Thank you. Call the roll, please.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Hey, thanks.
Carrier.
Representative McPherson.
Be happy to.
Thank you. Okay, we'll close the hearing on House Bill 2282. Open the hearing, open a public hearing on House Bill 2323, and Mr. Washington.
Good morning, Chair Barker and members of the committee. I'm Michael Washington, chairperson of the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision, here to offer brief testimony on House Bill 2323. The purpose of this amendment is to amend ORS 144.226 to change the number of days from 60 to 120 to allow the board and the board psychiatrist or psychologist to be able to examine the offender and then give the board the requisite number of days to schedule that hearing and conduct the parole consideration hearing for that offender. The way the statute is now currently, it only, with it listing 60 days, for those processes to be done in conjunction with ORS 144.228, it limits or actually eliminates the board's ability to have its 60 days to schedule and conduct the hearing with the offender after the psychologist has examined the offender and prepared the report. So by amending the statute to change from 60 days to 120 days, it will allow the doctor to examine the offender and then prepare his report within the 60 days, and once the board receives that report, it will then have its 60 days to schedule the hearing and conduct the hearing with the offender. The way it is now, the board has had great difficulty in meeting all of those processes and completing them within 60 days, and we've been met with several challenges from the offenders on that timeliness issue, and we've been litigating that, and we feel that by amending this and making it retroactive, we could eliminate that that litigation, and it would follow up with what the intent by the legislature was in the first place by virtue of it placing that 60-day limit in 144.228 to be in conjunction with 144.226. So
thank you.
Any questions?
Questions from the committee? Thank you. That
okay.
Makes that pretty clear. We're going to move this to a work session.
I would accept a motion to move this to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
I move we pass this on to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Close the work session.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, if there's anyone here, there were two bills set originally on today's agenda. One was the DNA statute. I think I've talked to all interested parties on that measure. That was reset at the request of one of the witnesses who was unavailable today. Also, for the record, House Bill 2194, which was originally scheduled for today at the request of the Oregon Youth Authority, was withdrawn because the Oregon Youth Authority, after consulting with the Treasury Department, determined that the statutory authority that they were requesting in House Bill 2194 already existed for the Oregon Youth Authority, and they no longer need that bill to be heard.
Okay, thank you. Any further business today? No, with no further business, we'll adjourn the committee.